Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 14 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Beis. At the beginning of the line, you'll notice the word gufa. Gufa is a quote from that which was mentioned earlier. So in our previous shiur, the information contained in the following source have been referred to. Before learning the Gemara itself, let us take advantage of one of the features of the Shas Ozer. That's the Shas that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings. And the feature we're referring to is the topic heading and structural note that accompanies each new sugya and appears as needed. In this case, we have combined our Nosei topic heading and Mivneh structural note into one comment. So you'll notice on the outside margin, we have written the following. We are going to be discussing here with Makoros. Makoros are sources for Bechor. A Bechor, a firstborn male animal, Eino Nifteh, Avol Nimkar. It is not to be redeemed. Nifteh is Pidyon. It's not to be redeemed. The sanctity that a Bechor has does not lend itself to transferal onto money. That's redemption. Avol Nimkar. But it can be sold. In other words, a Kohen, after he receives a Bechor, a firstborn male animal, and it develops a blemish, hence it can't be brought as a sacrifice. However, a Kohen is able to sell it to someone else. Meiser Behema, that is an animal that is the tithe, one-tenth of any given year's birth of animals. A person has a herd or a flock of animals, and there are many births that take place. One-tenth of those is set aside and brought as a sacrifice known as Meiser Behema. So concerning Meiser Behema, we say, Eino Nifteh, it cannot be redeemed, even if it develops a blemish, which in the case of other sacrifices, besides Behor, standard sacrifices, once they develop a blemish, they are able to be redeemed. The Meiser Behema cannot be redeemed. And as we said before, that would have involved setting aside money and transferring the sanctity of the Meiser Behema onto cash. Well, it doesn't take effect. The Eino Nimkar, here you notice a departure from Bechor. It's different in the sense that it cannot be sold either. And we will see in today's shiur, and in fact, almost all of today's shiur, until we get to the Mishnah on Amud Beis, is involved with this discussion, Gimel Shitois Ech Yoidim Ezeh. We'll see three approaches how we know this. Now, we mentioned that this was a structural note as well. So here you see we feature a house marking around key names, Rav, Rova, and Rav Ashi. Each one has a different approach how we come to the conclusion that the Meiser Behema is not even able to be sold. That is, a person who has set aside a Meiser Behema and the animal developed a blemish, hence it cannot be brought as a korban. Well, he cannot sell it either. Now, we discussed in our previous year the issue of selling Meiser Behema, and we saw a distinction made between selling it alive or selling it after it has been shechted. There, the Gemara had said that the prohibition of selling it alive is a Torah-level prohibition. However, the prohibition of selling it after it's been shechted, that is a rabbinic-level prohibition. And as a result of that, we mentioned in our previous year that when it comes to the Meiser Behema of Yisoymim, the rabbinic restriction was not imposed, and it could be sold. So as far as this issue is concerned, how do we know the din of Meiser Behema not being sold? We see Rav has an approach that we refer to in our heading here as the Gezera Shava approach. We will run a word comparison between the topic of Charomim. Charomim is a situation where someone makes a Cherem dedication to the to Hekdesh. And Charomim are ultimately given to Kohanim as a gift. But there's something called a Cherem dedication. And in the Pasuk concerning Cherem dedications, the expression appears Lo Yimocher Velo Yigoel. So together with Lo Yigoel, you have Lo Yimocher. So it's black on white regarding Cherem that Lo Yimocher cannot be sold. It just so happens that in the topic of Meiser Behema, we also see a pasuk in which the phrase Lo Yigoel appears. So the attempt is made on the part of Rav to run a Gezeirah Shavah, to make a word comparison, Lo Yigoel, between Cherem and Meiser Behema, to conclude that just like by Cherem, no sale is allowed to be done. In other words, after someone makes a Cherem type dedication to the Beis HaMikdash, and it cannot be sold, so too, the Lo Yigoel expression that appears by Meiser Behema, accompanied with that is this idea of it cannot be sold. Rava has a different approach. The expression Lo Yimocher, Rava will show us that the expression Lo Yimocher that appears by Charomim really wasn't necessary. And as a result of the Lo Yigoel expression, or the Lo Yimocher expression by Charomim being unnecessary, so it's transposed to the topic of Meiser Behema. That's called Im Eino Inyan. If it's not relevant to the topic of Charomim, so the Lo Yimocher shall be applied to Meiser Behema. And hence, Rava comes to the conclusion that Meiser Behema cannot be sold. Rav Ashi has a different approach, and you'll notice that the three shitas that we have here are also numbered to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, little numbers with house markings around them. So we have Rav is featured as number one. Four lines from the bottom, you'll notice a number two, that's Rava. And three lines from the top of Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, Rav Ashi appears. Now his approach is the words Lo Yigoel that are written by Meiser Behema really means, those words really mean Lo Simkor, not do not sell it. So that according to Rav Ashi, the pasuk in the context of Meiser Behema itself tells me don't sell it. Even though, generally speaking, the expression Lo Yigoel means do not redeem it, Rav Ashi's approach is, here it can't mean do not redeem it, and he will prove that on Amud Beis. So with that general introduction in mind, we now turn to the Gemara. There will be some more structural notes that we will mention as we go along. The Gemara, Gufa, Bevechor hu Omer, in the context of Bechor, the Pasuk says, Loi Sifdeh, Vinimkar. The pasuk says you can't redeem it, but it can be sold. B'maiser ne'amar lo yigoel, v'eino nimkar. By maiser, there's a different expression. It says lo yigoel, and we learn from this it cannot be sold. Lo chai v'lo shochut, lo tam v'lo balmum. Whether it's alive or after it's slaughtered, whether it's unblemished, a tam or balmum, a blemished maiser behema. Mino hani mili. From where do we know that Meiser Behema cannot be sold? Omar Rav Chinuno, Omar Rav. And we might as well point out that when the Gemara is asking Mino hani mili, the Gemara is also asking, how do I see that from the expression Lo Yigoel that it cannot be sold? Because as we said earlier, in and of itself, Lo Yigoel has to do with redemption. But the Torah doesn't say Lo Sipodeh by Meiser, it says Lo Yigoel, an unusual expression, usually meaning do not redeem. So our question is, how do I know that it means, really, it means do not sell it? So Rav Chinina Amar Rav says, "V'chein ki also Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan." And likewise, when Rav Dimi came, he quoted in. He came from Eretz Yisrael. He came to Bavel, and he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, "Nemar lo yigoel b'maiser, v'nemar lo yigoel b'charomim." In the context of Maiser Behema, the expression lo yigoel appears, and in the context of Charomim, the Chirim dedication, it also says lo yigoel. Ma lahalon mechiro imoi, just like over there by Charomim. The Torah restricts sales. Imo means together with lo yigael, the expression lo yimocher appears, so that even if you translate lo yigael, meaning it cannot be redeemed, but together with that, it says in Charomim, it says you cannot sell them either. Afkan, so too in Maiser Behemo, where you see the expression lo yigael, mechira imo. Understand that together with lo yigael comes the expression of lo yimocher, even if it's not written black on white. Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. So Rav Nachman addresses Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, and he says, "Mufni." The expression lo yigoel is an extra expression. Mufni means it's available. It's available for the Gezerah Shava. Now this concept in Gezerah Shava making is significant. And that is that if an expression is not extra, so then we will raise questions about the use of it for a gezeiro shava. And that's what the Gemara points out right now. It says, the ilo mufni, if the expression lo yigael was not an extra expression, it wasn't available per se, and you were relying simply on the fact that in both contexts, in Charomim and in Maiser Behemah, you have the same expression, that in and of itself would not be enough to justify a Gezerah Shava. Why? Ika lemifrach. I could challenge, I could undo the comparison by saying, Ma lecharomim shekein cholim al hakoil. You can't possibly learn without the lo yigoel expression being mufni, you can't learn Maiser Behema from Charomim. Charomim is something that sets in on everything. In other words, if a person wants to meet Machrim his bookcase, he could do that. And it becomes a dedication. And it becomes what's called Muhram. Maiser Behema is limited. It's not chal on everything. It's an animal-related mitzvah. So, being that there's a fundamental difference between Charomim and Maiser Behemah, I would not learn Maiser Behemah from Charomim. Except for the fact that the lo yigoel expression is extra. Lie means in truth, afnuye mufni. It's an available expression, it's an extra expression. Now, in our markings, you see a double underline. This appears at a number of subsequent stages of the Gemara. And on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we have an explanation. The double underline introduces Lo Yomer, or Lo Yomar. Nisyonos, these are attempts, Laharois, the Lo Yigoel, the Chsiv, Eitzel Charomim, Oi Maiser Behemah, that the expressions Lo Yigoel, that the Torah writes either by Cherem, or later we'll see by Maiser Behemah, are extra. Kidei Lechazek HaGzerushova B'nehem, by the Lo Yigoel being extra, that will strengthen the Gezerah Shava. Kedei shenilmad Maiser Behemah mecharomim, in order for us to reach the goal of learning Maiser Behemah from Charomim. Kishem shecharomim eino nimkar, just like Charomim are not sold, and we know that because it says there black on white, it says Lo Yimocher. Kamochein Maiser Behemah eino nimkar. So too, Maiser Behemah is something that cannot be sold. So we have to show that the lo yigoel expression is extra. So the Gemara does that with this double underline point. Lo yomar v'lo yigoel b'charomim. Let the Torah simply not write lo yigoel by cherem. V'yigmar mimaiser. Now, if the lo yigoel means it cannot be redeemed, so let the Torah just not write it, and I'll learn that from Maiser Behemah. Ma Maiser Kodosh Veino Nigal, just like the Maiser Behemah, the 10th animal in the counting of the births, is sanctified and it cannot be redeemed. Af haramim kedoshim ve'enom nigolim. So to haramim are something that are sanctified and cannot be redeemed. So even without saying lo yigoyal by haramim, I would have compared it to Meiser Behema and come to that conclusion. So for lo yigoyal the kosav rachmon olam ali. So why does the Torah bother writing that haramim cannot be redeemed? I could have figured that out. Shma mino lafiu yesh. This shows us that if there it's written anyway to serve as an extra expression to activate the gezeira shava between Meiser Behema and Haramim. However, the Gemara says, Iko Lemifrach, I can challenge this and say, the Iko Lemifrach means and show that it's lo mufni, that it's really not available. Ma Lemeiser, what we had just suggested before, is that without writing lo yugael by Haramim, I would have been able to figure that out, that it cannot be redeemed. I would have been able to figure that out from Meiser Behema. So the Gemara challenges this by saying, Ma'ala Meiser shekin kodosh lefanav v'lachrov. Meiser Behema has a strength that you don't find by Haramim, and that is that it can sanctify the animal that comes before it and the animal that comes after it. And what we mean by that is that when you're counting the numbers of animals that pass through a narrow passageway in order for you to count them one by one and then declare the tenth animal that you call ten as a Meiser Behema, if a mess up happens and when number 9 comes out, you declare it as 10. And when 10 comes out, you declare it as 9. And when 11 comes out, you declare it as 10. So all those animals will gain a certain level of sanctity. That's what's meant by that it's kodosh lefanav l'achrav. Meiser Behema is a type of, we'll call it an institution that takes into consideration or can actually be chal, in a manner of speaking, on the animal that comes out before it and the animal that comes out after it. So we see that Meiser Behema has a certain feature that it's this kodosh lefanav l'achrav, which you don't have by haramim. And therefore, I need lo yigoel by haramim. It's not something I would have been able to figure out from Meiser Behema. So it's not available. It's not mufne. Then the original question comes back, is how do you know that Meiser, what's going to be our source for Meiser Behema not being allowed to be sold? Let the Torah not have written lo yigoel by haramim, and let me learn from bechor. Ma bechor kadosh ve'no nigal. Just like a bechor, firstborn male animal, is sanctified and that cannot be redeemed. Av haramim kadoshim ve'no nigalim. So to haramim are sanctified and they cannot be redeemed. So I'm learning the redemption prohibition of Cherim from Bechor. If that be the case, lo yigoel, the kozer rachmon olam ali, why do you do this overkill and write again lo yigoel by Haramim when I could have figured it out from Bechor? Oh, le'afnuye. So it shows me it's available. It's a free, an extra expression that enables me to make the gezeira shava with a degree of assuredness between Meiser Behema and Haramim. Well, ikol lemifrach, but this too I can challenge. Ma'ala b'chor shekein kedushoso mirechem. If you thought for a minute that you could learn haramim from b'chor, that's not true. B'chor has an additional level of sanctity that you don't find by haramim. A b'chor becomes sanctified from its emergence into the world as soon as it's born. That's kedushoso mirechem. So at this point, we're still looking for an extra lo yigoel. To say that it's an extra by haramim, it's not so. It's needed to teach me about haramim themselves, because haramim could not have been learned from Bechor. And lo yomar lo yigoel by Meiser. Let the Torah remain silent with regards to lo yigoel by Meiser Behema. V'yigmar ha'avora ha'avora mi Bechor. And I would have learned exereshava using the word v'havarta, that you find by Bechor and you find by Meiser. A similar expression there is Asher Yavor Tachas Hashevet. Ma bechor kolish veino nigal af meiser behema kolish veino nigal af a meiser kolish veino nigal. Just like by bechor, we know it's sanctified and it cannot be redeemed. So too, I understand meiser behema is kolish, it's holy, and it should not be able to be redeemed. Therefore, lo yigoel dekasa rachmona b'maiser lomali. What do I need lo yigoel for by maiser behema? We just said that lo yigoel, if you were to assume it means you cannot redeem it, that could have been figured out from Bechor. So the Gemara says la'afnuye. It is if the Torah wrote lo yigoel anyway by Bechor, it means that it's written it for as an extra expression. We have to just correct ourselves with the lo yigoel expression written by maiser behema. Since Maaser Behemah could have been figured out from Bechor, so why does it write Lo Yigoel by Maaser Behemah? It's there to serve as an extra expression and to work as a Gzeira Shava from Maaser Behemah to Charomim. Ve'akati, but still, B'Maaser Nami Lo Imufni. Lo Yigoel is not really extra, it's not available by Meiser either. I can't really learn Meiser Behemah from Bechor, just like we mentioned earlier, because Bechor is Kedushoso Meirechem. Its Kedusha is automatic at the point it emerges into this world, which is not the case by Meiser. So the fact that Bechor, we know it's you can't redeem it, but that's because of this Kedush Shoso Meirechem aspect. But something that's not like that, like Maaser Behemah, maybe it could be redeemed. And that's what I would have thought on my own. Therefore, the Torah has to write Lo Yigoel by Maaser to tell me that it cannot be redeemed. But that it's no longer an extra expression. The Gemara answers, V'ha'avarto kro yiserohu. The pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel, pasuk Yud Beis, by Bechor is an extra pasuk, and Rashi explains across from here. He says v'avarto kro yiserohu umufne l'gzeirah shava. It's available for the purposes of making a gzeirah shava. L'lamed ha'avora ha'avora al meiser shelo yigoel. I have, by the case of Maaser Behemah, and I have by the Bechor, the expression of Ha'avora, telling me that Maaser Behemah cannot be redeemed. So I could have learned the inability to redeem Maaser Behemah from the Ha'avora Avora Gzera Shava. So why does the Torah write Lo Yigoel by the Maaser Behemah? It is there to tell me that it cannot be sold. V'ein Meshivin Olel, and therefore, and we don't. When you have this extra posuk Havora Havora, we don't ask on that. Hilchoch Lo Yigoel de Maaser Mufnehu. The Lo Yigoel expression that the Torah bothers writing by Maaser is an extra expression. Omai time or high croy yisera. What do you mean it's extra? How do you see that? The motzi lemichtav, it could have written, the Torah could have written kol peter rechem li, kedichtiv kroachrina. Just write kol peter rechem li by the Bechor, like it says in other psukim. Kol peter rechem li, vavarta lomali. Why does the word vavarta appear? Shmamina kro yiserahu. It shows us that there are extra words in this pasuk, and they serve as the basis of a gezerah shava between Bechor and Maaser Behemah, from which I ultimately derived that just like by the Bechor, there is no redemption, so too by Maaser Behemah. Why does the Torah then write Lo Yigoel, which means do not redeem it by Maaser Behemah? It's extra. And with that, I'm able to make a gezerah shava to Charomim and learn Lo Yimocher, that you have by Charomim, applies to Maaser Behemah as well. The Gemara continues asking questions, but they're on, let's say, called dealing with different details. In the meantime, though, we have come up with the basis of establishing that Lo Yigael by Meiser Behema is available for a Gzeirah Shavah between Meiser Behema and Haramim. Bechor, the Gemara now asks, Bechor Nami Nelef Geula Geula Me Haramim. Well, in the case of Bechor and the case of Cherim, you have the expression Lo Yigael. So why not compare those two topics and learn Bechor from Haramim, and the result would be that a Bechor would be something that's usher to sell, and we know that's not the case. So the Gemara answers, De Meiser Mufni, De Bechor Lo Mufni. By Meiser, the Lo Yigael, Geula was a reference to Lo Yigael. That Geula expression by Meiser is extra, as we prove, we've already proven, the Bechor Lo Mufni, but by Bechor it's not an extra expression. The Gemara asks, Umay Chozes de Lo Sivda de Bechor Ligufei, U de Meiser Lafnue, what is it that you see to say that the Lo Sipodeh, which means you can't redeem it, by Bechor is necessary for itself, and the Lo Yisigoel Posuk, which is found by Meiser Behema, is an extra expression. V'eimo de Meiser Legufe, why not say that the expression of Lo Yigoel by Meiser is necessary for itself, and de Bechor Lafnuye, and the expression of Lo Sipodeh by Bechor is extra, in order to learn, and we would end up learning an Isser Mechira by the Bechor from Haramim. So the Gemara answers, Donin Geula Migeula, Vein Donin Pedia Migeula. The relationship between Meiser Behema and Haramim is a closer relationship, hence I learn one from the other, because in both cases the same expression appears, Lo Sigoel. However, by Bechor, it doesn't say that. It says Lo Sipodeh, which is the more common expression of do not redeem. But they're different words, Lo Sipodeh versus Lo Sigoel, that you find by Haramim, and therefore I can't compare them. The Gemara asks, My Nafka Mina, what difference does it make whether the words are the same or the different? Ha Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have the following source introduced in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, where it says, Veshav HaKohen, Ubo HaKohen. This is in the context of Negoyim, where a Kohen comes to inspect a house that has developed a change of color in the corner of one of its walls. A Kohen has to come and paskin on and rule, is this a real nega or not? So during the first week of a possible tumah, the pasuk says v'shav haKohen, and then it says a while later it says ubo haKohen. He comes back on a subsequent week to determine what the nega status of that house is. And we learn, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia, that whatever laws apply to his first coming apply to his second coming. The first coming was the Vishav HaKohen, and the second coming was Ubo HaKohen. So the question right now is, you see that even where you have expressions that are not exactly the same, just like you have by Negoyim, where it says Vishav HaKohen, Ubo HaKohen, and the laws that apply to 1 week of the Kohen inspection apply to the subsequent week of the Kohen inspection of the Negoyim. So we see that even though the terms are different, Vishav HaKohen versus Ubo HaKohen, we do learn one from the other. So then why is it by our topic don't we learn the Gzeirah Shavah between Lo Sibodeh by Bechor and Lo Sigal by the Haramim? And the result, once again, would be that Bechor would not be allowed to be sold. So the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when is it that we say that we'll make a word comparison even if the words aren't the same? Hecha Deleka De Domi Lei. That's when there is no other closer looking expression. Aval Hecha De Iko De Domi Lei Mi De Domi Lei Afinan. However, where you have an unknown topic, and it is to be compared to another known topic, if the two topics have the same expression, we will opt to make a comparison between those two topics, as opposed to comparing the unknown case to something with a different expression. And hence, in our discussion, Maiser and Haramim have the same expression. Bechor and Haramim don't have the same expression. The Gemara asks, V'leilif Bechor Havara Vara Mi Maiser? Why not learn a Gezerah Shava using the Havara expression from Maiser? And just like Maiser Behema, we know, is Aser B'Mechira, so Maiser Behema will shed light on the case of the Bechor and tell me it too is not allowed to be sold. Which of course is contrary to what we know, L'maskona. Let's read this line again, toward the end of the line above. V'leilif Bechor Havara Havara Mi Maiser, Doha Maiser Nami Geula Geula Mecharamim. We already seen that Maiser lends itself to a Gezerah Shava to Cherem. So, too, let Havara Havara be a Gezerah Shava between the Bechor and the Maiser Behema. And as we said, and the result of that would be that it would be forbidden to sell a Bechor. So the Gemara answers, Mi'et Rachmona Gabi Charomim Hu. In the Pasuk by Charomim, Vayikra Chavzayim Pasuk Chavches, says the word Hu, which means Hu Velo Bechor, meaning Charomim are Osir B'Mechira and not a Bechor. The Gemara asks, Vema Hu Velo Meiser, why not use the word Hu, which is a limiting expression, to exclude Meiser Behema? So the Gemara answer is, Mistabra Meiser Geula Geula Kamoso. Mistabra Meiser is to be compared to the topic of Haramim, because in both of them you have the same expression of Lo Sigol Ale. So that's why I'm going to opt to make the Haramim Meiser comparison and not the Bechor Meiser comparison. At this point, we encounter a new, a second house marking, and we call this number two. Rava Omar, Lo Yimocher de Haramim Lo Tzorech. We're following the Girsa of Rashi in this Gemara. He appears on Omid Beis at a note in Rashi where you'll notice a double star to the left-hand side of the Rashi column. It's at that point that he suggests this reading. So he says that the Lo Yimocher expression that you find by Haramim is an extra expression. And as a result of it being extra, in the case of Haramim, Rava will very shortly tell us that you can transpose it over to Maiser Behema and learn Lo Yimocher, do not sell, with regard to Maiser Behema. So the in proving that Lo Yimocher is extra, the Gemara goes on, De Isnu Hecha, where is the animal that you were machrim located, that the Torah has to tell me Lo Yimocher? E bay bailim, if it's in the home of the original dedicator, the owner, the bailim, hektish ninu, it's holy, it has been sanctified, and obviously it cannot be sold. E bay kohen, if it's in the house of the kohen who is the one who receives the cherem dedication, well then chulin ninhu, it's mundane, and as a result of that, as a result of being mundane, it's able to be sold. It becomes his own property. The Sanyo, the source, the Tanaic source, explains, Haromim calls Mashein Bebeis Bailim, and we should have pointed out a little earlier that this discussion that Rava introduces is part of a long point, and we have this indicated to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This one singular point is developed, and it continues till the upper part of Omid Beis, the second line from the top. So the Tanaic source bears out what we just mentioned, that Haromim calls man shehein the base bailim harehein kehektish l'chol divrayim. The cherem, before as long as it's in the home of the original owner, it has a sanctity status to it. Shenemar kol chirim kodosh kodoshim hu lashem. And as a result of that, it's obviously something you can't sell. Nosnon lekayin harehen kechulin lechol divrahem. If the chirim then is being presented to the Kohen, who is the ultimate receiver of the chirim, it becomes like chulin, mundane, common, regarding all matters. Shenemar kol chirim b'Yisrael l'cho, yeah, it is unto you. It is yours. Lo yimocher dekosav rachmona lomali. What do I need the lo yimocher expression by charomim for anyway? Im eino inyun l'charomim, if it has no relevance to charomim, teneo inyun l'maiser, then apply it to maiser behemo. And lo yimocher means you cannot sell. And sell what? You cannot sell maiser behemo. Well, eimo teneo inyun l'bechor, if you're telling me that lo yimocher is extra by charomim, why not transpose it over to bechor and conclude that bechor cannot be sold, which we know is not the case. Answer, Mistabra Meiser Geula Kamoisai. In the case of Charomim and Meiser Behemo, you have the expression of Lo Yigael. So, since the Geula expression appears in both of them, and you don't have that by Bechor, we choose to compare or make this connection between Charomim and Meiser Behemo. Rav Ashi represents the third approach. How do I know that the lo yigoel by maiser behema ultimately means that you cannot sell it? Up till this point, we've seen Rav's approach. Rav used a gezeira shava. We've seen Rava's approach, which was an imeno inyan idea, where he actually took the lo yimocher words by charomim and transposed them over to maiser behema, coming to the conclusion that maiser behema cannot be sold. Rav Ashi says that the lo yigoel expression that's written in maiser behema itself means you cannot sell it, even though the literal translation would mean you cannot redeem it, but Rav Ashi will prove that it means you cannot sell it. Rav Ashi Yomar lo yigoel de maiser equals lo yimocher hu. It means you cannot sell it. Om Rav Ashi mino amino la. From where do I know this? Now, as you can see, a new marking appears. This is the triangle marking. It appears in a flip-flop direction as you scan ahead in the Gemara. This is a feature called Ma'akav, and we've indicated this on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, where the triangle is featured. With the point facing up, it represents a she'ela, a question, and with the point flipped over, facing down, shuvos, answers. So that we're attempting to keep track of the flow, the back and forth, give and take nature of the discussion style of this Gemara. So the question is, how does Rav Ashi, from where do I know this, that lo yigoel, that's written by Meiser, means you cannot sell it? Tichtiv, this is now an answer to that question, and it's also a point that we're illustrating as a long point, and you can see that by the nun that has been encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with the ascending vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines of Gemara form the point. Tichtiv, it says in the Torah, in Vayikra Perek Chav Zayin, it says in the context of Tumura. Tumura is a topic whereby one attempts to replicate the sanctity of an animal, of a sacrifice, onto another animal. So the pasuk says, "V'hoyahu utumuraso ye kodesh lo yigoel." So the original animal dedicated as a sacrifice and its replica are holy, and it says lo yigoel. Amosai oise tumura. When is tumura something that takes hold? Mechayim, that's when the original animal and the replica animal are alive. It's something that takes place between two live animals. Well, Amosai eno nigal, mechayim. Well, by the same token then, the pasuk that says lo yigoel, by tumura it says, we're discussing live animals. Now, generally speaking, lo yigoel means you cannot redeem it. So, if you learn it like that, you're then going to come out with a point of inference that is simply not going to be accurate. What is the inference that one would make? We said just now, it just like tamura is something when it's alive, the lo yigoel is when it's alive. And now the intonation is very important here. Holy achar shchita nigal. Are you going to tell me that after it has been slaughtered, it can be redeemed? But haboy hamodav arocha. For redemption to take place, an animal has to be able to stand up and be evaluated. Hamodav stand up. Harocha means to be evaluated, to know how much to set aside for the redemption. Well, it's been slaughtered already. So you see that the lo yigoel expression that you see by tmura can't mean what it says. Elo shma mino lo yigoel means lo yimocherhu. It means something else. The words lo yigoel means something else. You cannot sell it. And the result now would be, if you take this back to the meiser behemah, which also you see the expression lo yigoel, we will end up concluding that meiser behemah cannot be sold. Well, this conclusion works out. Things that were dedicated to the altar, to be offered on the altar, for example, a tamura, that's kochei mizbeach, that it was under the requirement of hamodav arocha for redemption purposes. Therefore, in the case of that, in the discussion we just had, we demonstrated that the inference could not hold true. The inference meaning after it shechted, it could be redeemed. That's not true because kochei mizbeach are under the heading of hamodav arocha. Elo leman diomar kochei mizbeach lo hayu bichlal hamodav arocha. My ego lememar. According to another school of thought that says that kochei mizbeach, sacrificed animals, don't need to be alive to be redeemed. In other words, when they're alive, they can't be redeemed, and then we could infer. But when they're dead, and they're shechted, they could be redeemed. Well, if you take that approach, then lo yigoel might in fact be a reference to redemption, and not a reference to sales. So then the question will come back, according to this Manda Omar, how will you know that Meiser Behemoth cannot be sold? So the response to that is, Anan Hochi Kuamrinon. Our argument, as far as lo yigoel is concerned, is to be stated thusly. If you're going to say that lo yigoel means redemption, not to be redeemed, mi iko midi, could there be anything, de mechayim lo mifrik, that when it's alive, you can't redeem it? Ulachar shchito mifrik, but after it's been slaughtered, it can be redeemed. The Gemara says, that's not a problem. Alom alo, why not say, in fact, that? Mechayim, when the animal is alive, the alima kedusha say, it has a high level, alima means strong, or high level of sanctity. Lo mifrik, it doesn't lend itself to redemption. La'achar shchita, the aklisha le kedusha say mifrik. After it's been slaughtered, where its sanctity level is lessened, because now it's been shechted, it can be eaten. So there it's lesser, it lessens in holiness, and therefore it can be redeemed. The Gemara says this is a patently false point of logic, and here you can see the triangle flips over. This represents a response to that objection. Velo kol dekeinu, it would be in fact argued in the opposite way. Uma mechayim de'olim lemitvas pidyono lo mifrik. If you're going to tell me that when it's alive it has a high level of sanctity, and even so, and with a high level of sanctity, it should have been able to grab on to the money. Its sanctity should have been able to be transferred over to money in redemption. And yet you're telling me it's not redeemable? La'achar shchita d'lo olim l'mitvas pidyono. After it's been slaughtered, where its sanctity level is lessened, and hence it wouldn't have the strength to grab on to the redemption money. So eino din d'lo mifrak. Then certainly it cannot be redeemed. Oh, this having been said, then the pasuk had said earlier that by tamura when do you make tamura? That's when it's alive. And when is lo yigoel? That's when it's alive. The inference being, but after it's been shechted, it could be redeemed. That we just demonstrated cannot be the case. If you're telling that when it's alive, when it has a high level of kedusha, it cannot be redeemed, and after it's been slaughtered, it certainly should not be able to be redeemed. So what are we going to do with the lo yigoel expression and its and the supposed inference that we would make? Elo shma mino lo yigoel equals lo yimocherhu. Lo yigoel simply means something else. It means you cannot sell it. And hence, when you take that, you transpose that expression, or you not transpose it, but when you now translate that lo yigoel in the context of Maaser Behema, it comes out Maaser Behema cannot be sold. V'lichtoy v'rachmona lo yimocher. Well, why beat around the bush, so to speak? If you're telling me that lo yigoel means you cannot sell it, so write the words lo yimocher straight out. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice this is a long answer marking the tuf that's encircled with the descending vertical dashed line, which takes us to the Mishnah. It says, the Gemara answers, I kosav rachmona lo yimocher. Had the Torah used the straightforward expression lo yimocher, so have amino, I would have thought, is devuni hu delo mizdabein. It cannot be sold, to call ovid uvdin dechoyol, because sales are too commonplace. And as a result of that, when you're dealing with something like Maaser Behema, which is a holy item, so sales, I understand, would be forbidden. Aval ifruki mifrik. But redemption, which is something that's practiced by other forms of kachim, by other holy items, maybe it could be redeemed. Da aili domov lehekdish. After all, if I would redeem the Maaser Behema, the money would then be given over to the holy fund, the temple funds. And as such, there's good reason for thinking that it could be redeemed. Therefore, lohochi kosav rachmona lo yigoel. Therefore, the Torah used an unusual expression, lo yigoel, to refer to the prohibition of sale. At the same time, lo yigoel also implies that, or also conveys the idea that it cannot be redeemed. The lo is devunim is devin. The lo ifruki mifruk, it cannot be sold, nor can it be redeemed. As we continue with the new Mishnah, the topic heading that appears on the side, it says, Lemi mutar bosar b'chor balas mum. Who is allowed to partake of the meat of a firstborn male animal that developed a blemish? And we'll see Gimel Shitois Tanum, three Tanaic opinions on this matter. The Mishnah, Beishamay Omrim lo yimoneh Yisrael im hakohen al habachor. A Yisrael, a non-Kohen, should not join the Kohen who received a Bechor as his gift. A Yisrael should not join the Kohen in eating the Bechor Baal Mum, the Bechor, the blemished Baal Mum, the blemished Bechor that has been shechted and given to a Kohen. Ubeisil Matirin, Beisil allows a Yisrael to join, Vafil Ovei Kohavim, even a Gentile. Masnisin Moni, the Gemara asks, our Mishnah is authored by whom? Who is the presenter of Shammai Beis Hillel in our Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva hi. It represents Rabbi Akiva's version of these opinions, of these earlier Tanaic opinions. Desanya, Bechor ein nimnin olov elo chabura shekulo kehanim, divrei Beis Shammai. The Tanakama says that only a group of Kohanim are allowed to partake of a Bechor. Beis Hillel Omrim Afilu Zorim. Beis Hillel says even non-Kohanim. Rabbi Akiva Matir Afilu Ovei Kehovim. Now Rabbi Akiva is a comment within Beis Hillel, and he says as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, even idol worshippers could partake of the Bechor. So that our Mishnah, and you notice the dashed underline here, our Mishnah, which mentions under Beis Hillel's name even idol worshippers. So we see that that's Rabbi Akiva's approach to that's Rabbi Akiva's approach to Beis Hillel in saying even idol worshippers. So with our markings, we've emphasized not only that expression, but we've also dot underlined Rabbi Akiva's name because he was really the focus of our immediate attention. Now the Gemara goes on seeking out sources for these Tanaic opinions. And in order to highlight the different names of Tanoim, you'll see we use a diamond marking. You'll see here base Shammai in a diamond, and on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Beis Hillel appears likewise in a diamond. So, my time of the Beis Shammai, why does Beis Shammai limit the Bechor consumption to Kohanim? The Pasuk says, Uvesorim Yeloch, and the Ches in the Shita adds a few words, Kechazeh HaTnufa V'shok HaYomim. The Besorim, the meat of the Bechor, shall be unto you, just like the Chozeh and Shok limbs of a korban shlomim. Ma hosam kohanim in Yisrael, though, just like by the chazav ashok of other sacrifices, it's only a kohen and not a Yisrael, not a zar, only kohanim are allowed to partake of chazav ashok. Af hocha, so too by the bechor ba'amum kohanim in Yisrael loy. Ubeis Hillel, at the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Beis Hillel Hani Mili Tam. Beis Hillel says that this comparison of Chazav Ashok to the meat of the Bechor is true with an unblemished Bechor, which is brought as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. Avo Balmum, Ksiv, but regarding a Balmum, it says, Hatomei Vata'or Yachtov Yochlenu. The Tomei and Tor, the ritually impure and pure, can eat together. Uma Tomei She'enu Ochel B'Kodshim Kalim Ochel B'Bechor. And now we make a Kal V'Chomer logic that, mind you, a Tomei that cannot eat light level sanctified sacrifices is allowed to eat from a Bechor Balmum. Zar She'ochel B'Kodshim Kalim. A Zar, a non-Yisrael, let's say a common Yisrael, brings a Shlomim offering. He, as owner of it, eats from it. So a zar that eats from kodshim kalim eino din shiyochal b'vchor, and certainly he should be allowed to partake of b'chor. Hence, Beis Hillel concludes that a zar is allowed to eat from b'chor. Well, ikol lemifrach, but I can undo this comparison. Ma l'tomei, the tomei shekein huter michlolo be'avodas tzibor. The tomei which we posed as a strict area, and hence we made our Kal V'Chomer just above, turns out to be not such a strict area. He has a certain leniency that you don't find by a zar. A tomei is allowed to do public sacrifices, whereas a zar, that means a kohen who's tomei, could process public sacrifices, whereas a zar cannot. So, at this point, then I lose my proof for Beis Hillel in showing us that a zar is allowed to eat from Bechor. U Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel's response: Otu ba'avoda ko'amar, be'achilo ko'aminon. Are we talking here about temple service? We're talking about eating. U'la'achila zar odif, and when it comes to matters of eating, the zar is considered of greater significance. What do we mean by that? We saw in the case of a tomei, he cannot eat. He has eating restrictions, which a zar does not have. And therefore, if you find by a tomei who has eating restrictions and yet he can eat from the bechor, the zar that doesn't have those restrictions certainly should be allowed to partake of the bechor. And now, Rabbi Akiva, who is the third opinion that we saw, this is a quote from the source, Rabbi Akiva Mati Rafilu Evikuchavim. Rabbi Akiva says that a Bechor Balmum is allowed to be partaken of by a Gentile as well. My time with Rabbi Akiva, what's the basis for his teaching? Kitzvi V'Choayol. The Pasuk, in referring to Psule Hamukdoshim, says, like, that one eats of them like deer and ayol, other animals. These are animals that are, as the Gemara said, they're not brought as sacrifices ever. Matz, riva, ayol, mutul, ovdei kochavim. just like in Tzvi and Ayol, are something that are their undomesticated kosher variety animals, Gentile is allowed to partake of them. Af b'chor mutar lo'ove k'chavim. Since the b'chor ba'amum is an example of psulei hamukdashim, a disqualified, sanctified animal, and in the pasuk, the psulei hamukdashim are compared to tzvi and ayol, so just like tzvi v'ayol, a Gentile is allowed to partake of, so too a b'chor. V'idach, the others that disagree with Rabbi Akiva that wouldn't allow the Gentile to partake of Bechor, they say as far as these expressions Tzvi Vayol are concerned, he says Tzlosa Tzvi Vayol Ksivi. The expression Tzvi Vayol appears three times. Chad L'chad Rabbi Yitzchak V'Rebo Shaya. One is for their teaching, and there is a further elaboration of this in the Tosfos. V'chad L'chad Rabbi Lozer HaKapor. And Rabbi Lozer HaKapor uses this expression to say that just like a behemoth is b'shchita, so too a chaya is b'shchita. Just like a behemoth needs to be ritually slaughtered, so too undomesticated kosher variety animals need the same thing. The idach, and the third expression, ma tzvi vayol p'turim min ha-bechora, af so mukdashim p'turim min ha-bechora. Just like undomesticated animals are exempt from Bechorah, so too Psulei Mikdashim, animals that were once dedicated as sacrifices that became became disqualified, are likewise, if they were to bear afterwards a firstborn male offspring, they would be exempt from Bechorah. So at this point, then, we saw what Rabbi Akiva's source for allowing Oved Kuchavim, and we also saw what the response of those that disagree with Rabbi Akiva, what they do with the Tzviva Ayol expression. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.